There was a man who won $3 million from the lottery over the weekend, from what I heard, and he decided that he was going to give a quarter of it to charity. And so now he says he has $2,990,999.75. So it's a quarter of it to charity. Okay. I thought that was going to go over better than that. Oh, how we love our stuff. How we love our money. How we just get more and more possessions, and we keep stuffing and stuffing them in more places. And there's nothing like moving to make you realize how much stuff that you have and how much stuff you need to get rid of. We moved last weekend. That was part of the reason I was not here. And after several boxes, you start thinking, why do I have some of this stuff? And then you push it into the garage, and you know the garage fills up very quickly. But then you notice as you walk throughout the neighborhood and other people have their garages up that you're not alone, that everybody has their stuff. In fact, I saw a cartoon once where a father was standing with his young son, and they were looking into their garage, and it was just stuffed with all kinds of just boxes and belongings. And he said, "Son, someday this will all be yours." And the son's like, "Oh, okay, whatever." We love our stuff, though, don't we? And how we hang on to it. Before we get into what Jesus had to say in Luke, I want to draw our attention to a passage from Isaiah. It's Isaiah 44. And if you want to read along with that or follow the story, I'm not going to read it word for word. But there's a very telling story that Isaiah shares in Isaiah 44. And I'm going to begin around the 13th, 14th verse. There's a carpenter, and he has his trade, and he goes to the forest of Lebanon where the cedars are, and he cuts down a cedar tree, and he brings the cedar tree back, and he begins to cut on it and to do some things with it. And it says, first of all, that he used it, first of all, as fuel for burning. So he used half of it to make himself warm and to kindle some bread, kindle a fire for bread around the fire. And it said, so he used half of the log for that. And then he said, he goes on to say that with the second half, he asked himself, what will I do with this? And he sat there for a while, and he decided that he was going to fashion a god out of the second half and worship it. And he made an idol of that second half of the piece of wood, and he bowed down to it. Half the wood he burns in the fire. Over it he prepares his meal. He roasts his meat. He eats his fill. He also warms himself, and he says, "Ah, I am warm, and I see the fire." And from the rest he makes a god, his idol. He bows down to it and worships. He prays to it and says, "Save me, you are my God." And Isaiah goes on to say, they know nothing, they understand nothing, their eyes are plastered over so they can't see, and their minds are closed so they cannot understand. No one stops to think, no one has the knowledge or understanding to say, half of this I used for fuel, and I even baked bread over its coals, and I roasted meat and I ate. Shall I make a detestable thing from what is left? Shall I bow down to a block of wood? I had Michelle carry this in this morning. I hope she wasn't walking like this with it. Not that I've never seen that before in her hands, but she carried this in this morning. A block of wood. It's just a block of wood, isn't it? But man, what are the things we can make from this, right? I mean, there is value in wood. Well, first of all, you could burn this and start a fire, and as the man in Isaiah 44 did, you can bake some bread over it, maybe even cook steak over it, well done, a little salt and pepper, and have a good feel, and sit around the fire and say, isn't life good? But then you got the other half. And the man asked himself, what am I going to do with the other half? And Isaiah says the tendency of us is to, with our stuff, we have enough, but then want more and more. And more and more. And we make an idol out of the other half. there seems to be a place in our possessions where, and it's a fine place, and each of us finds it at a different place. There's not a certain amount of money or a certain amount of possessions but it will vary for each person. This is enough. And I'm satisfied here. I'm warm, I have food, I have a little security, and I'm comfortable. And then there's something that's left. That's what Isaiah is focusing on, and that's what Jesus is focusing on. What is it that we do with that block of wood, that extra half a block of wood, once we have enough? And we all have to answer that question, because each of us came here today, and I pray that we did, and we had a bed that we woke up from, we had a roof over our head, and we had food in our belly. What do we do with that block, that part of that block of wood that is beyond us being comfortable, having some security? That's the question at stake that Isaiah asks us this morning, and what Jesus points out as well. But it's just a block of wood, right? No, wait a minute. No, it's so much more. It's more than just a block of wood. These material things can get our minds, get into our minds, and they can begin to own us. Have you ever wanted something? You just desired something, a material thing, and you just couldn't stop thinking about it until you had it. That's not a basic want. That becomes a spiritual issue. Does that thing have control over your mind? Is it possessing you? And in possessing you, is it changing your behavior? Is it causing obsessive behavior in you so that all that you do and all that you're focused on is that thing and obtaining that thing? So it's more than just a block of wood. It becomes a spiritual issue. You can visit marketing websites on the internet and find marketing training websites and find instruction on this. I just chose one from random this week, and here's what it said. This was teaching people how to market their products, sell their products. Listen to this. Make your product or service represent spiritual values. Wait a minute, it's just a block of wood, isn't it? It's just a shirt. It's just a pair of pants. It's just a car, right? No. It can become a spiritual issue in our life. Make your product or service represent spiritual values that customers seek to experience in their lives. For example, it goes on, Subaru is a company that makes cars, not love. They make cars, not love, right? However, Subaru effectively markets its brand as a symbol of love. Love for many people is spiritual, bringing with it a sense of care and community. Some drivers actually feel the love in the brand Subaru by feeling welcomed into a warm and friendly community of Subaru vehicle owners. If you bought a Subaru, you may not have known it, but you weren't just buying a car, you were buying love. There's a spiritual value attached to things in that second half of the block of wood. The first half is it warms us. It feeds us. It makes good bread. It makes good meat. And we can sit around the fire and say, man, isn't life good? Isn't it good to be alive? But then we realize we have this second half. And we think, what can I do with that? I have everything I need, but what can I do with that? And then it gets into your mind, and then it becomes a spiritual issue. And then we'll do all kinds of things in order to bow down to that idol, that second half of that piece of wood. In fact, some marriages have ended over that second half of wood. And they had a roof over their head, they had food in the cupboard, they had a bed to sleep on, they had a job, but it was that second half of wood that they just couldn't stop arguing about, because each of them had applied separate spiritual values and what they wanted to do with it. Some people have betrayed their country for that second half of wood. Some people have been obsessed their whole lives with that block of wood, and before they know it, their life has passed, and that's all they have. So it's a spiritual thing, this block of wood, and it can lead to destructive behavior. That carved wood becomes an obsession. We would do anything. We would destroy anybody for that carved idol once it gets into our mind and gets control of us. What would you do with the second block of wood? Would you let it ruin your marriage? Some have. Would you betray your country? Some have. Would you live under the oppressive weight of debt your entire life? Some have. You see, this block of wood is very seductive. It gets hold of you, and it possesses you, and it dominates your thoughts, and it directs the whole focus of your life on obtaining it. And so families fall apart because they have bowed down to a block of wood. We're fighting endless wars around the world because we have bowed down to a block of wood. There are entire mountain ranges, or entire mountains in the Appalachian range because we want more and more stuff. More and more mountains that have been torn down. But notice in this passage that material things do not have to become idols, right? Isaiah and neither Jesus, neither one say possessions are bad. Neither one of them say material things can be bad. What they're saying is, be careful. Because once you have more than enough, the temptation is to make an idol out of the rest. And I dare say that we are all guilty at some point in our lives of making an idol of the rest. And it leads people to devote their whole lives to getting more and more and more stuff. You've probably heard the old Brazilian proverb about the businessman who was sitting by the beach in a small Brazilian village. And as he sat there, he saw this Brazilian fisherman who was rowing a small boat toward the shore. And he had caught quite a few big fish. And the businessman was impressed, and he asked the fisherman, "How long does it take you to catch so many fish?" And the fisherman replied, "Oh, just a short while." And he said, "Then why don't you go back to the sea and catch even more?" And the businessman was astonished by this. And the fisherman said, "Well, this is enough for my whole family." And the businessman then asked, "So what do you do for the rest of your day?" And the fisherman replied, "Well, I usually wake up early in the morning. I go out to sea and catch a few fish. Then I go back home and play with my kids. In the afternoon, I take a nap with my wife. And when evening comes, I join my buddies in the village for a drink. We play guitar and sing and dance throughout the night." And then the businessman offered him a suggestion. He said, "You know, I'm a PhD in business management. I can help you become a more successful person. From now on, you should spend more time at sea and try to catch as many fish as possible. And when you've saved enough money, you can buy a bigger boat. And you can catch even more fish. And soon you'll be able to afford even more boats and set up your own company, your own production plant for canned food and distribution. But then you'll have to move out of the village and move to the big city where you can set up headquarters to manage your other branches." And the fisherman continues and he says, "And after that?" And the businessman laughs and says, "Well, after that, you can live like a king in your own house. And when the time is right, you can go public and float your shares in the stock exchange and you'll be rich." And the fisherman asks, "And after that?" And the businessman says, "Well, after that, you can finally retire. And you can move to a house by the fishing village. And you can wake up in the morning and catch a few fish and then return home and play with your kids and have a nice afternoon nap with your wife. And then when evening comes, you can join your buddies for a drink and play the guitar and sing and dance throughout the night." And the fisherman looked puzzled and he says, "Isn't that what I'm doing now?" And so we hear Jesus say, "Be on guard against all kinds of greed, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of possessions." In fact, he says to be greedy is really foolish, because even tonight our life might be demanded of us. And then what? Well, you can say, "Well, I left a small fortune to my children, my family." Well, good for you. But how quickly will they spin through that fortune? Or will they get bored with life because they have no umph or no desire or no drive and know what hard work is and how to wake up in the morning and make something? And what will they do if they want even more and even more? See, it's a spiritual issue. It's a spiritual issue, what we do with that second half of wood. And Isaiah says he also fashioned a god and worshipped it. And he made an idol and he bowed down to it. And so Jesus challenges us today to examine where we are in relationship to this uncarved block of wood, which represents nothing less really than our life, our relationship to the world, our relationship to our family, to our nation, to our ancestors, to our descendants who come after us. What we do with this block of wood represents our life and who we care about and what we care about. What are we going to do with it? Well, the wisdom of the scriptures tells us to bow down before only one God, and that is the God of all creation. That is the God of life. That is the God who created you. That is the God of grace and mercy. That is the living spirit who lives within you and wants you to wake up every morning with a joy and a desire to excel and to accomplish wonderful things in life, but not to get sidetracked and placing too much spiritual value on things. Putting spiritual value on that, a destructive spiritual value on that second half of that block of wood. So what's enough? Well, that's for each of us to decide. And I'll finish with a story. There's a statistic that says Americans donate approximately 2%, 2% of their disposable income to charity. But then there's people like Julia Wise and Jeff Kaufman. They're a couple, and since 2008, they're now 31 and 30. They've donated half their income to charity, a total of $585,000. One's a social worker and one's a computer programmer at a small company. When asked why they did that, they said, well, we have what we need. It only makes sense to share with other people. And they're teaching their children to do the same thing, hoping that their children will see this as a normal part of life. What if you made a leap and said, well, I'm going to make giving 5% to charity or to a philanthropy, or even to people I know, neighbors in need. What if you made a leap and said, I'm going to give 10%, but half, that's faith. And the story I was going to close with, I read recently, there was a 30 years ago, this woman had, her whole world had fell apart. She had had to have a very tough surgery, and she had trouble recovering, and she got fired from her job, and then before long she got a letter from the IRS telling her that her employer had not paid employment tax into the system, and so she was kind of stuck with that problem. And it said, just as she was getting better, just on a whim, she saw a Japanese festival flyer for a Japanese festival in her neighborhood, and so she went for something to do and get her mind off of things. And she ran into a Japanese gentleman there, and they talked for a couple of hours and said goodbye. And she said a couple of weeks later, she found a small bouquet of flowers on her front porch with an envelope in it. And that envelope, within that envelope, was $10,000. And she had never heard or saw from that gentleman again. And then about 15, 16 years later, she learned of, after she had gotten on her feet, had learned of a neighbor who had been evicted from their home, and they were able to move into another home if they had $5,000 for a down payment and some other things. And without hesitation, she knew who they were. She wrote a check for $5,000 and gave it to them. See, that's the way, when we place spiritual value, a positive and a healthy and a wholesome spiritual value on the second half, that's what makes communities thrive. That's what makes neighborhoods good places to live. That's what makes churches powerful places. When we have that, when we've enjoyed life with that first half, and then we say, well, what are we going to do with the second half? And you place a spiritual value on it that honors God. Maybe you give part of it to the church. Maybe you give part of it to this local organization, or to your neighbor, or to your friend who's having a rough time. But whatever it is, you don't make an idol out of it. Do you see the point? Because Jesus says, if we do otherwise, we're foolish. Because this very night, your life might be demanded of you. And what have you done? What have you done for the kingdom that God calls us into through Jesus Christ? Let's pray together. Father, in this age where we live in a society where nearly every one of us in this place today has enough. Now, there are struggles and there are issues, but we have enough. May we ask the question, what shall I do with the rest? Shall I make it an idol? Or shall I make it an emblem, a sign, a sacrament of the kingdom of God and of all your holiness? Teach us to place a spiritual value of the kingdom of God on that second half. And we pray these things in Christ's holy name. Amen.